Today's daf is Me'ila daf Tet. We're going to start at the fourth line of Tet Amud Aleph. Mativ Avua Deshmuel. Just to review, we saw yesterday there was a machloket, Rav Huna and Rav Ada Bar Ahava, about Rav's opinion, what Rav said about Mitzoy Hadam. If you remember in the Chatat Ha'of, this we'll see is different from Olat Ha'of. Olat Ha'of, there's only Mitzoy, there's no Hazah, which is, again, you take what's in all the blood and you smear it on the wall of the Mizbeach. With the Chatat Ha'of, you do first Hazah, then you do Mitzoy, and the question is Mitzoy a critical element, or is Mitzoy just, if there's blood left, then you smear it on the Mizbeach? So now we're going to bring another question on Rav Huna, who says it's not a critical part. Matav avua d'shmuel Rav Huna. Echad chatat ha'of ve'echad olat ha'of shemelakan umitzad daman chutz l'mkomam pasul ve'en bo karet chutz l'zmanam pigul v'chayavin alav karet. If you remember, even though we always say pigul is both chutz l'mkomam and chutz l'zmanam, there's a difference between a pigul if you have the intent that you're going to do something outside the right place or outside the right time. What's the difference? Chutz l'mkomam, there's no karet ever. Chutz l'zmanam, you get karet for it. So they say here, if you did the mitzoy dam and you had a machshava of pigul, a thought that you were going to do it, burn it, you know, whatever part you were going to do in the wrong place, well then, since you did the mitzoy dam, so now it's disqualified, but there's no karet. But if it's chutz l'zmanam, then it's pigul and you get karet. So again, what do you see here? The connection between mitzoy is like the zrikat dam, and it's dafka the mitzoy and not the haza'ah. Now, what was the subject of this braita? Chatat ha'of and olat ha'of. So they say, here you see, chatat ha'of, and it says mitzoy dam and not haza'at dam. So that seems to go against Rav Huna, who says, right, katane mihat, however, you know, however you look at this, it says mitza daman. Okay? So therefore, it sounds like mitzoy is critical. So, who motiv lava, who mafarik la? He's the one who brought the question, and he's the one who answered it. Okay, that was Avua de Shmuel, brought this question to Rav Huna, but he himself answers the question. Litz dadin katane, what does that mean? It means that there were two subjects. There was chatat ha'of and olat ha'of. When it comes to olat ha'of, it's obviously mitzoy. But when it comes to the chatat ha'of, well, it's not necessarily mitzoy. It could be the hazah. Okay, and therefore, you don't have to necessarily explain it that way. Gufa. Now we're going to go back to when we were explaining Rav Huna. We said that he holds like the Tana in the house of Rabbi Yishmael, the Braita that was taught from the family from the house of Rabbi Yishmael. Tana deber Rabbi Yishmael she'im nishar badam. Right? They taught if there's blood left over, then you do mitzvah, which sounds like you don't have to do it. Now they're going to bring a contradiction to that because Vaha Tana deber Rabbi Yishmael in a different place. He says there's a machloka between him and Rabbi Akiva, which was classic. They always argued. Hatam shirayin, okay, there's a machloket there, in Zvachim, shirayin ma'akvim, the leftovers are ma'akev, and it's what you do with the leftovers is critical element. V'amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said about that, mitzoy chatat ha'of ika benayu. The machloket between them, the subject of the shirayim, because there's all different shirayim, there's shirayim of the mincha, there's shirayim of blood and a regular korban, the machloket they're talking about was about mitzoy dam. Okay, the mitzoy of chatat ha'of. Is that ma'akev or is it not ma'akev? Because those are the shirayim. Remember, it's the leftover blood because it's not the blood that came out in the first big spurt. So, if mitzvah chatat ha'of ika benayu, it sounds like where Tana deber Rabbi Yishmael holds the shirayim are ma'akvim. We just said before that it's not. The mitzvah isn't critical element. So, what's the simple answer? Trei Tanai v'aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. There's a Tana'itic debate what the house of Rabbi Yishmael held about this. Okay, so there's two approaches to what Rabbi, right? So notice it wasn't Rabbi Yishmael, it was the Braita taught from his Beit Midrash. So there were two opinions in his Beit Midrash about what he actually held, and we don't obviously know which is right. Okay, new Mishnah. If we started the Perek with the Mishnah about the Chatat Ha'of and all the stages, that's what we did. We said, what, Mishuk Desha, this is what happens. Mishuk Nimlaka, this is what happens. When you do the Hazah, or maybe the Mitzoy, this is what happens. Now we're going to go on to a whole list, and it's a very long Mishnah, of various different korbanot and what happens at each stage. Some parts are going to be very similar, and some will have little minor variances. And it all depends, obviously, on are they kodshei Hashem, and if they are, what happens to them after you do the zrika? Is the meat allowed? Is it not allowed? Which parts go to the kohanim? Which parts don't? As soon as they go to the kohanim, obviously, there's no more laws of me'ila. If they're forbidden forever, then they're going to have me'ila. And then until what point? What happens? You burn the korban, and then when it's just ashes, are the ashes forbidden b'hana'ah? So we're going to talk about all this. Maybe I'll even preface by saying, I'll explain some of the background to things we're going to see. So in the Beit HaMikdash, they would burn on the Mizbeach all the sacrifices. That's obvious. We all know that. Then you have the ashes. What would they do with the ashes? So if you remember, there's a mitzvah called Trumat HaDeshen, which would mean that they would take a small part of the ashes. It was almost like a kmitza, okay? A part of it they would take, and they would put it, if you remember, at the bottom of the ramp. On the side of the ramp at the bottom, there was something called the Beit HaDeshen. There's a bunch of places called the Beit HaDeshen. It's going to be a little confusing in our Mishnah because they're going to refer to the Beit HaDeshen, and it's not going to be this Beit HaDeshen. But Beit HaDeshen basically means a place where you put ashes or where things are burned. So they would put the ashes in a pile from the Trumat HaDeshen. This is something they would do every day in the morning, very early in the morning was the first mitzvah. They would take the ashes and take a little bit and put it in this pile. There's a debate about whether...
they do with the rest of the ashes.
Yafeh. So we're going to get to that. So that's what's called Trumat HaDeshen. You asked the right question. Now, the rest of the ashes, what happens? So the rest of the ashes get swept up and they get put in a place called the Tapoach. Okay? If you look in the... I forgot to bring the maps. But if you look in the map, there's this big black circle right in the center of the Mizbeach. That's the Tapoach. Okay? That's why it's black on the map because it's full of black ashes. And they would put the ashes there. Then, when the pile, okay, so now there's a debate. There's a bunch of debates about this, okay? First of all, there's a debate. Do you put the ashes in the tapoach, or tapoach, tapoach, there's different ways of pronouncing it, before you do the Trumat HaDeshen, and then from that pile you take the Trumat HaDeshen, or does it not need to be in the pile before you do the Trumat HaDeshen, you just have to take the Trumat, you know, just take some ashes. That's a debate. There's another debate. Once it's in the tapoach, well, then the mitzvah, there's another mitzvah. Okay, I'll read you the psukim. It'll be helpful. Okay, and then we'll go back to these psukim later. In Vayikra Vav, Pasukimel, it says, one second, I've got to open my tapoach. It says, here's the mitzvot, okay? They're mentioned one right after the other. V'lavasha kohemi dovad, umechnese bad, yabasha b'saro, he wears his clothes, Kohen clothing. Right, he takes the deshen, the ashes, and he puts it next to the mizbeach. Ufashadet begadav. Now he gets undressed. V'lavash begadim acherim. He wears other clothes. Now the assumption is he wears other kohen clothing, but kind of like a lower level because it's already a less important job. V'hotziya tadeshen al michutz lamachane al makom tahor. Then he takes the deshen outside the machaneh. To a makom tahor. Now, where is this? Outside Jerusalem. This is the place we're going to see this today, where they would, that's the Beit HaDeshen that's referred to in the Mishnah, where also they would burn, if you remember, there's parim ha-nisrafim and seirim ha-nisrafim. That's the seir la-Hashem on Yom Kippur. It's the seir that people bring if they make a mistake, the whole community makes a mistake based on a mistaken teaching relating to Avodah Zarah. The parim ha-nisrafim are three. There's the par of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim that is mechaper for him. There's the par ha'elem davar shel tzibur, when the tzibur makes a mistake based on a mistaken law in the courts not having to do with Avodah Zarah, they bring a par. And there's the par Kohen HaMashiach, where if the Kohen makes a mistake in teaching, and he then acts on his mistake, he has to bring a par. All those, they're different from regular korbanot. Most korbanot, they get number one, they get their blood goes on the mizbeach that's outside the hechal. Remember, right, there's two mizbechot. There's mizbech ha-pnimi, where generally they did the ktoret, and the mizbech ha-chitz, which is in the hechal, near the shulchan and the menorah. And then there's mizbech ha-chitzoni, I hope I said the right term, right? That's the pnimi. The mizbech ha-chitzoni is the one that's outside, right? That's the one we've been talking about in general. Now, that's where normally you do the sprinkling of the blood. These, you bring the blood into the hechal, right? And we know all this of the Seir La-Hashem, you even bring it into the Kodesh Kodeshim. And then, instead of burning it on the Mizbeach, you take it outside Yerushalayim, and they get burnt outside Yerushalayim, in this Beit HaDeshen. That's the same place where you take all the ashes from the pile, whatever is not, that you didn't do Trumat HaDeshen, you now, again, either you put them in the pile first, then did Trumat HaDeshen, or after you do the Trumat HaDeshen, you sweep them up into a pile. Now there's a debate, Rashi and Rambam, whether every day they would do this, or only when it got unwieldy, and the pile was too large, and they had to deal with it, then they would take it and they would bring it to this Beit HaDeshen outside Yerushalayim. Okay? Yeah.
No, it's fine. It just seems a very messy thing, moving ashes and
maybe that's why he changed his clothes. Yeah. It's very likely, right?
No, I mean, the truth is, like, it's such a neat
forget
process,
about that. The whole, I mean, everything was messy. Blood everywhere. You know, like I mean, you saw this Tevach HaShomroni also. They have blood all over their clothes, you know. It's what happens. It was a messy, the whole thing was messy. That's why we saw that case with the Kohen who covered his hands, remember? And he was punished for it. But you know, you could see why some of them might have wanted to cover their hands. Okay, so now let's go back to the Mishnah. Ola ha'of mo'alim ba. So, mishu ukdisha. So the Ola ha'of, once you designate the Ola ha'of, then there's a din of me'ila. Because already then, it's sanctified. Kodshe Hashem. Nimlika, once you do malika, huchshira li pasel b'tfulyom u'mumchusar kipuim u'vilina. This, we're going to have this mantra. It's going to go with all of them, right? As soon as you do which act? Right, once you slaughter it, at this point kicks in all the laws, right, of tuma and lina, because then the clock starts ticking for lina, and then it can become tameh, because otherwise it was alive, there was no din of tuma, and also, until it's dead, there's no din of lina, you can keep it going until you actually start slaughtering it. Then you can't leave it overnight anymore. Mitzadama, once you do the mitzui dam, because we said the olata of, that's the main thing, the mitzui dam, chayavin ala mishum pigol no tavatame, right, that's this rika for the olata of, which basically means that now if you eat it, if it was pigol no tavatame, you're going to have to get karet for that. Umo'alimba, now, then there's a din of mi'ila, because it's an ola, everything gets burnt, so the whole thing is still kochei Hashem. Until what point? Ad sheteitzei lebeit hadeshen, which is what we just explained, was the hotzaat hadeshen, when they took whatever, all the ashes are still forbidden to benefit from them until such point as you took it, you did the Hotza'at HaDeshen, which is the final part of the mitzvah. What they're basically saying, and this we're going to see is actually a source of debate, whether the Hotza'at HaDeshen is part of, okay, according to our Mishnah, it sounds like the Hotza'at HaDeshen is part of, it's the last final act of the korban. You might have thought of korban ola, once you burn it, you're finished with the mitzvah. No. Number one, you have to do trumat hadeshen. You have to take that little bit of ash off the mizbeach. That's part of the mitzvah. And number two, the second part of the mitzvah, which is all the ashes that you left there and you swept into a pile, at some point have to be removed. Again, either once a day or once every, whenever it's necessary. And you have to remove that, put it in this place. That's a din in the korban. Okay, according to the Mishnah, because the Me'ila is still going until then. Some other people view it, and then you'd have to read the Mishnah, not Kipshuta. We'll see in the Gemara how they do that. But we're going to see that there's another opinion, which is Rav's opinion, which is that no, the Hotza'at HaDeshen is a din in the Mizbeach. It's kind of a necessary part of dealing with the Mizbeach. Like you said, Naomi, what do you do with all those ashes? Right? In other words, you have to deal with them at some point, or one of you said, I don't remember, but you're going to have to deal with all those ashes. It's a problem with the Mizbeach. It has nothing to do with the Korban. The Korban's burnt already. It has nothing to do with the Korban. So according to this, sounds like it has to do with the Korban, and until you take it to the Beit HaDeshen, which was outside Yerushalayim, you're going to have a din of Me'ila in those ashes.
Seems like a very unlikely situation, because once everything's burnt, you also can't tell whose ashes are whose.
Right. Well, it's very simple. Yeah. All ashes are forbidden, because it's not just the Olat HaOf we're going to see. All of them,
all the korbanot,
all the ashes are forbidden until such point, because everything that gets burned in the Mizbeach is Kodesh Hashem, by nature, right? That's the whole thing. So all ashes are going to be forbidden to benefit from them until you take them to the Deshen.
But that has nothing to do with the Korbanot.
Theoretically, it could, because you're in there. You have the Ola, you have the Chata, you have the Ashem, you have the parts of the Kodesh Kalim that were burnt, you have everything in it. All of those still have a din of me'ila until you finish them. In other words, what it really means is that you have, now, of course, you finish your korban, you've gotten atonement. As soon as you do the zrikat dam, you have atonement. It's not like you have to wait for that for your atonement. It's just that there's still one last process that has to be done to that korban, which is taking it out. If they said they did it on a daily basis, like the Rambam, well, then it's not so bad, right? Because on a daily basis, all this stuff gets done. But either way.
A quick question for me. Yeah. If you have to pay the principal and the chomesh,
So what are you going to pay for the apron?
Right. Is it after initial korban?
I think it's just whatever it's, I assume it's whatever stage. If you use some afer, so whatever afer is worth, you know, whatever ashes are worth. Obviously, you won't have to spend too much money on that, I would imagine. Okay, parim hanisrafim usirim hanisrafim, which we already explained what all those are. So all of those, what happens? Okay, mo'alim bahem mishuk tishu. Once they get sanctified, already there's din of ila, because they're kodashim, kodche kodshim. Nishchitu, once they're slaughtered, huchshiru li pasel b'tfuyom u'kusar kipuim uvelina. Again, our three things are going to happen as soon as you slaughter it. Huzadaman. Once you sprinkle the blood, again, Chayavin alehem mishum pigo v'notar v'tameh. And just like the Ola, Moalim behem bebeit hadeshen. Now here, what happens? These are all called the Parim and Nesrafim, Usirim and Nesrafim. Where do they get burned? In the Beit HaDeshen outside Yerushalayim. Remember, you don't burn them on the Mizbeach. We burn them outside Yerushalayim. So you're still going to be chayav when they're in the Beit HaDeshen. This is a little different because in the din of Hotza'a le-Beit HaDeshen, as soon as you bring it to the Beit HaDeshen, your mitzvah is over. But these have to be burned in the Beit HaDeshen. So until you burn them in the Beit HaDeshen, you're still going to be chayav in Me'ilah. Until what point? Ad shiutach habasar. Until it's totally scorched. Okay, once the meat is scorched, then already the din of Me'ilah leaves it. I forgot to tell you, by the way, we talked about Trumat HaDeshen. They would put it in this pile right next to the Mizbeach. Some people said that there was a miracle, if you remember, and it would get swallowed up by the ground. Because notice, it doesn't say anything about what you do with that pile as it gets larger. Okay, that was the small amount that we took for Trumat HaDeshen, so that apparently miraculously got swallowed up in the ground. Okay. It could also be, it didn't miraculously get swallowed up. It could be if you leave a little ash there, eventually, remember the ground, it wasn't like a hard floor like ours. It was dirt. So eventually it kind of just gets, you know, tucked underneath and mixed up with the ground. Okay, next case. Ha'ola. Korban Ola. So here the whole thing gets burned, right? So the whole thing's going to have Me'ilah. We know except for what? The skin, if you remember, goes to the Kohen. So we're going to see a difference in the skin. Ha'ola. Mo'alimba. Mishuk desha. So as soon as you sanctify it, in comes Me'ilah. Nishcheta, once you slaughter it, Huchshera li pasel b'tful yom, Huchsar kipurim uvilina. Mishin is rakdama, once you sprinkle the blood, Chayavin alem, Mishum pigo v'notar v'tame. Okay, this is all the same, so I'm not really going in explaining each one. Ve'ein mo'alim ba'orot. Okay, now there's no Me'ilah by the skin, like we said. Aval mo'alim ba'basar, Ajitese lebet hadeshen. But again, just like the first case we saw, right, the Olat Ha'of, again, the meat gets burned on the Mizbeach, it turned into ashes. Until you finish the mitzvah by bringing it, doing the Hotza'a le-Beit HaDeshen, it's still going to be forbidden. Chatat ve'asham v'zivchei shalmei tzibur. Okay, these are all, right, generally shlamim are allowed to, their kochim kalim. But the shalmei tzibur, there were certain shlamim that the tzibur brought, those are eaten by the kohanim, so those are in the category of kochei kodeshim, and likewise the chatat nasham. So, mo'alim bahem mishuk deshu, right? We could already write this part of the Mishnah ourselves. Okay, right? Once there's designated, there's din of Me'ilah. Nishchetu, huchshiru li pasel b'tful yom, muchusar kipurim uvilina. Nizrak daman, chayavin alehem mishum piko v'no tar v'tameh. Ve'ei mo'alim babasar, we know this, right? There's no din of Me'ilah because all that becomes mutar the Kohanim after Zrika. Aval mo'alim b'imurehen ad sheitzu l'beit hadeshen. But the parts that get burned, we already know this, right? Anything that gets burned is going to have Me'ilah until it gets burned in the Beit HaDeshen. Shtei HaLechem. Now we're going to talk about bread. Two types of bread we're going to discuss. One is the bread that went along with the kvasim that they brought for the Korban on Shavuot, the two kivsei atzeret. Along with them went two loaves of bread. So, when are mo'alim bahem? Mishuk deshu, when you designated them, the dough already became sanctified. This is din of Me'ilah. Karmu batanor, they blackened in the oven, they, you know, crusted up. Huchshiru li pasel b'tful yom muchusar kipurim uvelina. Okay, now, what does this mean? This goes by one opinion, that if you remember, we learned, some people say that the oven, it becomes the kli sharet that sanctifies the bread. So when do they become fully sanctified? In the oven. At that point, they could be mekabel tum'ah, and the clock starts ticking for the issue of lina if you leave them over. And one more thing in this case, okay, this is a minor variation, v'lishchot aleihen et hazevach. You can't slaughter the kivsei atzeret till you have the shtei alechem. Well, the shtei alechem aren't considered shtei alechem till they get to karamu batanur. Nizrak daman shel kvasim, now there's no blood obviously of the bread. When you sprinkle the blood of the kvasim, the animal offering, which is connected with the shtei alechem, then kicks in. If you remember, we said that if you're a mefagel, the korban, we learned this a long time ago, the bread also becomes pigul, but you're not going to be chayav karet until what time? Right? If you're mefagel the korban at the shechita, but you didn't yet sprinkle the blood, so there won't be karet, but once you sprinkle the blood of the animal, then kicks in the karet for eating the bread also. So let's read that. I lost my place. Okay, Nizrak daman shel kvasim, chayavin alehem mishum pigol notar v'tameh. Ve'ein behem me'ilah, and there's no din of me'ilah because you eat the bread, you eat them entirely, no part of them, you know, gets burnt. Lechem ha'panim, the bread, the show bread. This was the bread that sat on the shulchan all week, on Shabbat. They would switch, they would take them out. If you remember, along with the 12 loaves went these two little bowls full of frankincense. And they would get burned, so when you would take the bread out, you would take the levona, the bezichei levona they're called, you would burn them on the mizbeach, and then after that, the bread would be allowed to be eaten by the kohanim. So, let's read. Lechem ha'panim, keep losing my place today. Lechem ha'panim mo'alimbo, it's because it's all the same wording everywhere. Mo'alimbo mishuk disha. So as soon as they become sanctified, so then there's mi'ila. Karam batanur, once you brown them in the oven, huchshar li pasel b'tful yom v'kusar kipurim, ula hezder al gabe shulchan, that enables you to already put them on the shulchan in addition to the fact that now they can become tamei. Kervua bezichin, that's all the beginning of the week. At the end of the week, when you take them off and you burn the bezichin, the livona, you offer it up. Chayavin alav mishum pigol notar v'tamei. In comes the chiyuv of pigol notar and tamei. That's like the zrikat dam of them. Ve'ein bo me'ila, and there's no longer me'ila because people eat them. Last case in the Mishnah, haminachot, the meal offerings. So again, what do? You mix a dough, right? So mo'alim behem mishuk teshu, from the time you designate them. There's a din of me'ila because they're kodshei kodashim. Kidsho b'kli, then you put them in a kli. At that point, huchshavu li pasel b'tful yom v'kusar kipurim uvelina. That's when they can become tamei and lina kicks in. Then you would take out the kmitza. He would take his, right, the Kohen would take his middle fingers and take out a little bit, and you were supposed to burn that piece, and what would happen? The rest, or the shirayim, they get eaten by the Kohanim. We saw that yesterday. Karev ha-komet, once you burn the kmitza, chayavin alav mishum pigol notar v'tamei, that's like the burning, the blood of it, and, right, it's parallel to that, you then are chayavin pigol notar v'tamei, ve'ei mo'alim b'shirayim, and then since the shirayim get eaten by the Kohanim, there's no din of me'ila, but Mo'alim ba'komets, ad she'etzei lebeit hadesh. And again, the kmitza that's sitting there on the mizbeach is going to have a din of me'ila until it gets to the beit hadesh. Okay, here comes our big machloket. Itmar. Ha'nehene me'afar tapuach sha'al ha'mizbeach. So remember, that's the pile of ashes that we gathered, all the ashes on the mizbeach, into a pile in the center of the mizbeach, that little black mound of ashes. If you get benefit from them, Rav Amar, now what would you say from our Mishnah? Me'ila, because until you take it out, it has a din of me'ila. But Rav says, ein mo'alimbo. So we're going to have a big problem with our Mishnah and Rav. Rabbi Yochanan amar mo'alimbo. He says there is a din of me'ila. So the Gemara now says, lifnei trumat ha'deshen, before you do the mitzvah of trumat ha'deshen, kule amalo pligi de mo'alimbo. Everybody agrees that trumat ha'deshen, that taking of a little bit of it and putting it on the side of his back, that's clearly the end part of every korban. So for sure, you're going to still have a din of me'ila at that stage. Ki pligi la'achar trumat ha'deshen. Their machloket is after trumat ha'deshen, before you do the hotza'at ha'deshen, taking the deshen out, that's where we have a machloket. Rav Amar e'mo'alim bo, harina asa mitzvato. So the mitzvah of the korban, the end mitzvah is the trumat ha'deshen. The taking out the deshen from the big pile is just an issue of cleaning up the mizbeach. It has to do with the mizbeach, not with the korban. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kevan dechtiv alavash ha'kohen midobad, since it says in the pasuk he has to wear his clothing, kevan ditzarich lebigdei kuna b'kedushat tekai, since you see he needs his bigdei kuna when he takes out the deshen, clearly it must be one of the avodot. Now, there's a bit of a problem because I read you these pasukim before, and if you pay attention, well, the pasuk that it quotes is the pasuk about the trumat ha'deshen. He was wearing his mechnesei bad, right? His real kohen clothing he was wearing when he did the trumat ha'deshen, not the hotza'at ha'deshen. So some people say they just quoted the wrong pasuk. Some people say that what they mean is he was wearing those, and then they mean also the continued pasuk, and then he changes his clothing to other clothing. But what did it say? It's clear he is changing, even though it's not 100% clear from the pshat, but he's changing into other bigdei kehuna, and that shows that he was wearing bigdei kehuna then. Okay, either which way, they assume he was wearing bigdei kehuna, and if so, they assume that, now again, this connection is a little not clear. It still could mean he's doing an avoda having to do with the mizbeach, but I guess they assume if it's just upkeep of the mizbeach, that's not an avoda. That's just clean the mizbeach. That's a cleaning job, right? It's a job for a cleaner, not for, right? If you have Cohen's wearing his clothes and doing the job, it must be because it's part of his avoda, and it must be then it's connected with the korbanot. Okay? Tanan. So now here comes our big question from our Mishnah. Mo'alim bahem ad shetiseh lebet hadesh and kasha l'rav. Makes no sense. So Amar l'charav ad shetireh el lebet hadesh. He now understands the Mishnah. It doesn't mean you have to take it out to the Beit HaDeshen. It means as soon as you did the until you do the Trumat HaDeshen, which enables you to be able now to do the Hotza'ah HaDeshen. Because you can't do the Hotza'ah until you do the Trumat HaDeshen. Right? Because if you took out all the ashes before you did the Trumat HaDeshen, well, then there would be no ability to do the mitzvah of Trumat HaDeshen. There would be no ashes there. So first you have to do the Trumat HaDeshen, and that's what it means. It means after Trumat HaDeshen, not after you actually take it out. Okay, that's the first question. Second question. Now the subject of this, it's in Mizbachim, and the subject of this source is the parts of the animal that are not meat. They're the bones and the sinews. If you remember, they're called the atzamot, gidim, the karnaim, the horns, and the tlafaim, the, call them the claws, I guess the claws. Okay, so now, all these parts are not edible. But if they're attached to the meat of the animal, then there's a special law by them, which is kulan shepak'u me'al ha'mizbeach lo yachzir. In other words, you put them on the mizbeach, but if you remember this halacha, if they fell off the mizbeach, you don't have to put them back on. Hoops. Okay, thank you. V'chein gachelet shepak'a me'al ha'mizbeach. Likewise, okay, this is more important for our purposes because they're going to equate a gachelet, which is a coal, with ashes. A gachelet shepak'a me'al ha'mizbeach lo yachzir. Likewise, if there's a gachelet there, coal, and it falls off the mizbeach, now the assumption is, what do we mean it falls off the mizbeach? It falls off entirely. It's on the floor, okay? Not, remember, the mizbeach was huge, okay? So the mizbeach is now this huge area. If something falls off the mizbeach, it could theoretically fall onto the floor, or it could fall onto the side, okay, where it's not actually on the floor. So this says, if it falls off the mizbeach, meaning on the floor, which means... So now, if it falls on the floor, lo yachzir, you don't have to put it back. But ha, here's the inference. Al gabei mizbeach, yachzir. But if it falls onto the side of the mizbeach, meaning it falls off the fire but is next to the mizbeach, the implication is, yeah, all, and remember, it was huge, the mizbeach. So if it falls, right, we're talking about the mizbeach.
But coal and ashes also pop off.
Right, so it could pop off. So if it pops off and it's next to, but still on top of the mizbeach, it sounds like you would have to return it. Okay, so now, what does this have to do with our issue? Again, we're assuming gachelet is like ashes. Bishlama the Rabbi Yochanan nicha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that until you take it out to the Beit HaDeshen and it's still sanctified, then we understand why you have to return this gachelet to its place. But ela l'rav, kashya. And as according to Rav, once it's burned, okay, now, again, there's a lot of debate about how exactly I understand this case. Some people say that what we're talking about is the atzema arachan. We're comparing, okay, there were etzim that were designated to be used for burning. They also have sanctity. And we're comparing them to the ashes. So the coals that are formed from the wood that we use on the mizbeach, that, once it's burned and then falls off, is it just that we need to have them on the mizbeach, or is it that they have sanctity, and therefore, if they're... Once they fall entirely off the mizbeach, so fine, they're gone. But if they're still in the mizbeach area, then we'd have to bring them back. So this seems to show that until you remove them, they still have their sanctity to them, and that goes against Rav. So Amar Lecha Rav says, don't make a comparison between a gachelet and ashes. Shana gachelet de'ipe mashasha. A gachelet, a coal, is an actual object. Ashes are, you know, they're nothing. Just sort of disintegrate. So that's, there's a difference. If it's a gachelet, then you have to put it on. If it's ashes, you wouldn't have to put it back. Okay? That's how Rav would explain. Some people bring this source in the opposite direction. Ika da amar la lahach gisa. Some people said it like this. Tama, what do you see from this braita? Mishum gachelet di ipe mashasha. It sounds like only a gachelet that has bo mamash has to be returned to the mizbeach. Ha. But if it were just ashes, it sounds like you wouldn't have to. And then it would be Bishlama the Rav, Nicha. According to Rav, that makes sense because the ashes don't have sanctity to them. Ela l'Rabbi Yochanan, who says the ashes still have sanctity until you bring them to Beit HaDeshen, would kashya, would be difficult. So Amar Lecha Rabbi Yochanan, what could Rabbi Yochanan answer? Remember, this was all made from an inference from the source, not from the source itself. So what does he say? Huadin da afilu efer. When it said ash gachelet, it means not only gachelet, also ashes. V'hainu tamet the katana gachelet. Why did it say specifically gachelet? Ka'ate lashmuinan. Now, remember, what was the halacha? Gachelet shepaka'a me'al ha'mizbeach lo yachzir. If it falls on the floor, you don't have to return it. So now, why was the chidush by gachelet? Da'afilu gachelet. Da'ipe mashasha ki paka'a me'al ha'mizbeach lo yachzir. If it actually falls on the floor, even though it's actually a whole piece and not just ashes, you still wouldn't have to return it to the mizbeach. That was his chidush, and not for the inference that we were talking about. And the inference would also be true. A gachelet, if it falls on the side, you'd have to put it back on. But also ashes, it just used gachelet because it was trying to give you a bigger chiddush on the actual halacha and not on the inference. Okay, itmar. Now we're going to bring a different machloket. We're finished with that issue. Hanehene mibasar kodshei kodeshim lifnei zrikat tamim. V'imurei kodshim kalim la'achar zrikat tamim. We keep saying those are the same, right? Basar kodshei kodeshim before zrika, and kodshei kalim, the parts that you're supposed to burn the mizbeach after zrika. What's the same about them? You have a din of me'ila. Both are kodshei Hashem. So now, let's say you benefit from them. What do? You have to pay me'ila, right? So now, what do you do with the me'ila that you pay? Where does that money go to? Rav amar, masha nehene yiplu l'nidava. Whatever you benefit from, so the money, you pay that money to the Beit HaMikdash, and it's used for olot nidava, right? For those ola offerings that they would offer on the mizbeach. When, remember, nothing's going on the mizbeach. You have to keep the mizbeach busy all the time. So it would go to that. And why ola? Because it always goes to the highest sanctity. That's the one that gets burnt all the time, right? Everything of it gets burnt except for the skin, the hide. So now, because of that, Levi Amar, Yavi Devar Shekula Ola Mizbech. Ola is not even good enough. You have to bring something with that money that gets totally burned. We'll see in a minute what that is. So now we're going to bring a bride to support Levi and then a bride to support Rav. Tanya Kavate de Levi. Mi'ila zo lehechan olechet. What happens with your mi'ila money? Halamidim lifnei chachamim omrim, those who learned in front of the rabbis said, Yavi davar shekulo lamizbeach. Umaynihu? Ktoret. Ah, the ktoret gets totally burned. So you buy with it ktoret. The ktoret gets totally burned. And that's what you do. Tanya kava, so there's your source for Levi. Tanya kavate de Rav. Here's our bride to support Rav. Hanehene midmei chatat umidmei asham. So Tanya kavate de Rav. Hanehene midmei chatat umidmei asham. So if you benefit from, now we're going to distinguish between animals and money, right? So if you benefit from money that was designated to buy a chatat or an asham animal, ad shelo kerva chatato, if you still hadn't brought the chatat, yosif v'yavi chatato, you take the money plus the fifth, and you buy an animal with all that money, and you bring it as your korban chatat. But ad shelo kerva ashamo, yosif v'yavi ashamo. This is what we saw, remember that case where he bought the korban with his me'ila money, right? And then he brought it as an asham. So you bring your actual asham with that money. But karev chatato, if you already sacrificed the animal, yechuli yam ha-melech. Ah, then it becomes a case of a chatat shenitchapu ba'aleha, so to speak, because theoretically your me'ila should replace that animal, but you already got atonement from that animal. So therefore, you know, for what you needed, therefore it goes to yam ha-melech, it gets thrown out. Karev ashamo, now if you remember, a chatat shenitchapu ba'aleha, you have to leave the animal to die. Therefore, the money that you now have to pay has to be left to, so to speak, die. You throw it in Yam HaMelech. The asham, what do we do with it? If a asham should it kapu ba'aleha, we leave the animal to graze. So let's say there's two animals and one, right? We take one, we leave it to graze. We redeem it once it gets a mum. Then we take that money and it goes for nidava. So likewise here, your me'ila money will go yiplu the nidava. Hanehenemi kodshei kodashim lifnei zrikat tamim. If you benefit now from an animal that was, okay, that was money before, now we're talking about an animal. Lifnei zrikat tamim, or imorei kodshim kalim la'achar zrikat tamim. So now, if you benefit from the animal, right, either one was me'ila, either that one before, that one after. Masha nehenei yiplu l'nidava. You spend the money on olot nidava. Here's a sikum sentence. Kol korbanot ha-mizbeach la-mizbeach. Any things that were supposed to go on the mizbeach, your money goes la-mizbeach. If you did me'ila on an item that was sanctified for the Beit HaKabayit, for use of upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash, then your me'ila money goes the Beit HaKabayit. Korbanot Tzibor, if it was for communal offerings, then l'nidvat Tzibor, then it goes for communal voluntary offerings. So now, so that Braita supported Rav, because it said, remember, what did Rav say? Masha nehene yiplu l'nidava. And that's what we say here, it goes l'nidava. But now they say there's a problem with the Braita itself. Hagufakasha. It says, Anchelo Kervachatato Yosifi Avichatato. Misha Kervachatato Yochuli Yam HaMelech. Says, right, if it's already been slaughtered, the animal, then you have to bring it to Yam HaMelech. Vikatane, call Korbanot HaMizbeach LaMizbeach. Veloshna de ichpor baalim, veloshna hecha de lo ichpor. It says in the end of the source, any korbanot mizbeach, gola mizbeach. It doesn't say whether nitchapu baaleh or not nitchapu baaleh. So in the beginning it says it has to go liyam ha-melech if you've already received a tovin. In the end it says no, it just goes to, right? Theoretically you could say, what's the difference? Put in the kupah of the Beit HaMikdash, use the money to buy an ola. Yeah, it's true, you got your chatah, but it sounds like from the end it doesn't matter. So what do they answer? Reisha Rabbi Shimon hi da'amar kol chatat shekipru baaleh tamut. The Reisha follows Rabbi Shimon, who says any chatat shekipru baaleh meit tamut. And the Reisha goes like the Seifa must be someone else's opinion. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbi Shimon v'Seifa Rabbanan, does that make any sense? So they say, yeah, in fact it does. Amar Rav Gvia d'Bei K'tila Rav Ashi, Hachi Amar Abaye, this is the way Abaye understood that source, Reisha Rabbi Shimon v'Seifa Rabbanan, period. Okay, yeah, you can explain it that way, and that explains the contradiction of the Mishnah. Again, what was our point? Our point was that we had a machloka Rav and Levi about do we take the Me'ila money and do we use it for Korbanot Nedava? Or do we use it for ketoret? Because it has to all burn. So we brought two sources, one that said you bring it for ketoret, and one that says you bring it for nidavah.